Now we have understood who is a complainant, what is it that he can complain about, what is a complaint, okay? Now where to do all this, to whom can the complaint be made? Now as in the earlier slide, I had informed you that we have a tier system. So you have a district, so within this district, like for example, Bombay, Thane, Pune, so every district will have one consumer district forum. Okay, which now under the 19 Act is called Commission. So earlier it used to be District Forum, State Commission and National Commission. Now it is District Commission, State Commission, National Commission. On the district level, you have the district. On the state level, you have the State Commission. And on the national level, you have the National Commission. Now all these commissions have jurisdiction. District Commission is something where district comes, the pecuniary jurisdiction comes into picture. Okay, the jurisdiction is divided into two, a pecuniary and appellate. Appellate is where you file an appeal. For district, it is only pecuniary jurisdiction. Under the 1986 Act, by amendment of 1993, the jurisdiction, the pecuniary jurisdiction was of up to 20 lakh. Under the 19 Act, if you will read the Bare Act, under the 2019 Act, it shows 1 crore. However, there was a further amendment to that. And now the district forum has, the district commission, I'm sorry, has the pecuniary jurisdiction of 50 lakhs. Okay. Under the 93 amendment, it was 20. Under the 2019 Act, it was 1 crore, up to 1 crore. And under the commission, the further amendment to the 19, it is 50 lakhs, where the value of the good or service and compensation exceeds 20 lakh but does not exceed 1 crore would be before the state commission. Now this was under the 1993 amendment. Under the 2019 Act, it was made up to 10 crores, all right? But a further amendment was made, and it was made 50 lakh to 2 crores. And for National Commission, presently it is above 2 crores. But under the old regime, it was 1 crore if it exceeds 1 crore. And under 2019 Act, originally it was above 10 crore. But now it is made 2 crores. Okay. Now where to file a complaint? A complaint should first, if it comes within wherever the pecuniary jurisdiction is, it should go. Okay, so if it is, let's say your compensation, the value of purchase of your product is say 51 lakh. So it will go to the state commission. Okay, all this is subject to jurisdiction. Now, when it comes to pecuniary jurisdiction, you have to see under whose limits. Earlier it was the opposite party, but now it is where the complainant resides, or whether cause of action has arisen. Now, what is the procedure? Now, procedure for filing has been made simple and speedy. No fees have been prescribed. Earlier Act had. Complainant or his authorized agent can file it in person. You really don't need any, advocate. Essentially, you can file it in person. You can file it online or send it by post. Now, how to draft a complaint? A complaint, what it should include? It should include your name and description, your address, the description of the opposite party or parties. Now, when I say parties, who all can be? The manufacturer, his authorized service dealer. So, for example, let's take example of a car. Okay, in car, it will be, let's say, I have purchased Innova. So I will make Toyota the party, as well as the authorized dealer from whom I have purchased the car. In terms of flat, I will also include the broker as well as the builder if I have gone through an agent or broker. Okay, their name, description and address. Why address is necessary? For service. And you have to give entire fact as to what is the fact, when and how it arose, what is the defect, how it comes within the purview, how you are consumer, how does it come within the purview of whether you are alleging deficiency of service, defective good, unfair trade practice. You have to actually show how you come within the purview and what is the relief that you are seeking, to which you will annex all the documents, most important documents, your invoices, if there is an expert opinion, their opinion, pictures, etc. Okay, all this should be annexed and the complaint needs to be signed. If it's by a power of attorney, it's an authorized agent, it is advised that you annex the power of attorney as well. Now let us come to unfair trade practices. Now, unfair trade practices methods, if you want, they are listed under the section 36A of the MRTP, that is the Monopolies and Restrictive Trade Practices Act 1969, which has been further amended in the year 1993. Now, they have been grouped in various categories. What are the categories? Misleading advertisements and false representation. Okay, it will make you fair. Misleading advertisement, it is a false representation. A sale offer of a bargain price. The shelf price is, say, 70,000. Okay, and you say, I have brought the price down and it is 75. That is wrong. Schemes of offering gifts or prizes. Non-compliance to prescribed standards, as we have seen, the standards given by ECMA, ISI, your Weights and Measurement Act. All these, if you are deviating from the prescribed standards, then it comes under unfair trade practice. Hoarding or destructions of goods or refusal to sell so as to raise the cost. Okay, you hoard. For example, if you must have heard last time when the onion prices had risen up, there was a lot of complaints of hoarding. Okay, so hoarding will not help if you want, and that hoarding is solely with an intention that you want to increase the demand, the price, so that because there is a demand, you want to hoard. Okay, so that comes under unfair trade practice. Now, what is the purpose? The purpose of this unfair trade practice must be to promote the sale, use, or supply of any goods. If there is no intention of such, then it may not come under the purview of unfair trade practice. The entire intention should be the intention to cause a loss or injury. Okay, that is very, very important. Now, how does the Act defines restrictive trade practice? The Act defines restrictive trade practice as any trade practice which requires a consumer to buy, hire, or avail of any goods or services as condition precedent for buying, hiring, or availing of other goods services. And MRTP Act has a wider ambit to it because it covers all the practices which prevents or distort or restrict competitions. And why competition restriction of competition gives a problem is because it obstructs the free flow of goods and services. Okay, it obstructs the free flow of capital and resources of the production. That's why restrictive trade practices are not good and is unhealthy for a competitive price. Now let us come on for mediation. Section 74 is what governs the mediation. Now what the Act directs is that the state government will establish a consumer mediation cell which will be attached to all the district commissions and the state commissions. Okay, and for national commission, it will be the responsibility of the central government. Now, holding companies accountable for default in services or manufacture is the most important essence of the Consumer Protection Act. The liability of product manufacturer under the Consumer Protection Act is given under Section 84. So, manufacturing defect in the product, defective design, deviation or manufacturing specifications, product not conforming to the express warranty, or no adequate instructions being given for the correct usage. These liability, even if he proves that he was not negligent or fraudulent in making express warranty. Okay, the whole idea is to protect the consumer. Now, a product service provider will be liable when, if the service provided was faulty or imperfect, deficient or inadequate in terms of the quality, nature or manner of performance. Okay, now please remember that this fault or imperfection or deficiency can be either where you have made a contract, you are expressing something. When you expressly say, it may be not, he may not sign the contract, but let's assume I have just advertised, it becomes a contract, you are representing. Okay, if it falls short of that, or if under law, under the act, I am required to give a certain design, I am required to adhere to certain things, and it is falling short of it, then it comes under product service provider's liability. There is any act of omission or commission. What is omission? When an act, when a law requires you to do something and you don't do it, you omit. It is omission. Commission is where the acts ask you not to do something, but you still go ahead and do it. Okay, against the law. And there it results in negligence or conscious withholding of information which causes harm. Now see, this harm did not really be physical harm. It could be anything. So it could be tangible, it could be intangible, but there should be a harm. Okay, no warning given, no instructions, though the product requires that the instructions have to be provided. And if you do not conform with the express warranty or the terms and conditions which have been given by the in your contract. Now you will be liable if the product seller, I mean, will be liable if there the substantial control is by him over designing, testing, manufacturing, packaging or labeling of the product. Okay, or he alters or modifies the product with to an extent where this alteration will affect or cause substantial harm or any harm for that matter. Or he makes an express warranty and it's independent of the express warranty, it will, and if you fail to adhere to it, it will, you will be, the product seller will be liable. Products sold by him and identity of the manufacturer is not known, or if known, service of notice or process cannot be affected. Okay. And fail to exercise reasonable care in assembling, inspecting or maintaining product. So you have to make sure that the reasonable care is taken. If not, then he'll be liable. Now, what are the exceptions for a product liability action? You will find that under section 87 of the Act. Now, product seller will be exempted from any liability for harm, etc. He'll not be liable where product purchased by the employer to be used at workplace and warnings were provided to the employer. So the employee cannot come and sue saying that I was not told. If the employer was informed, it is the responsibility of the employer to give the information. If the product sold as component or material for another product, okay, and product was legally meant to be used for a particular thing but has not been used for so, or was required to be used under expert or supervision and has not been done so. Now, another is where product manufacturer will not be liable is where the complainant while using the product was under influence of alcohol or prescription of drug. Okay, there are certain drugs, even if it says that you are not supposed to drive and you go ahead and drive and do some mistake, or you start some machine under influence of alcohol and it creates problem, then the manufacturer will not, or service provider will not be liable. No liability in case of danger which is obvious or known to the consumer. Okay, there are voluntary non-fit injury. For example, this is one of the maxims which comes to my mind, where for example, let us say you go to watch cricket and the ball comes and hits you. You will not be able to sue the cricketer or the stadium, stadium holder from whom you have purchased the tickets, right? Because that you know that the ball may come on you. So it's, you have voluntarily agreed to suffer if you suffer. Now, redressal of consumer disputes. Now, changing business models have created new sets of problems for consumers, right? For example, where we have discussed about the online consumption, the influencers, etc., e-commerce. So, Consumer 2019 have specifically addressed these issues. Under the old regime, the e-commerce was not included. Influencers were not included, but they have been included under the new Act. Okay, now the concept such as product liability or protection against product liability, unfair contracts, these all were not part of the old regime, but other part of the new regime. Okay, now we have already seen what is a product liability, where a consumer can go ahead and claim compensation under a product liability action for harm caused to him due to deficiency of service, whether it is in service or product. And it will lie against whom? It will lie against the manufacturer, or the design defect, or it deviates from the specifications or the express warranties. Now, what are unfair contracts? Unfair contract is where for example, I gave you example where you have to accept the terms and conditions, where you do not have the avenue to go ahead and negotiate the terms of the contract, right? Those are unfair contracts, where the contract between the manufacturer, trader, or consumer, okay, causes a significant change in the right of the consumer. It affects the right of the consumer. For example, excessive security deposit, unilateral termination, assignments, etc., saying that you will not be, he will not, the provider will not be liable. These standard terms and conditions go under unfair trade, false and misleading advertisements. Now, under the law, a consumer complaint can be filed with the, this is a new concept, okay, the Central Consumer Protection Authority. I will tell you the need for the Central Consumer Protection Authority and why it has come into picture. It was seen that, advertisements that were being made by influencers on Instagram or social media or even on television or on websites. So you are going on a third party website and somebody's ads is flickering, 100% guarantee with no asterisk of terms and conditions, something like that. So they all come within the misleading advertisement. So false advertisement, when you say that, when the product service provider or manufacturer or trader says that I'm going to provide this 100% and you fail to provide it, right? So someone had to take charge and make sure that these advertisements are not misleading and false. So under the regime of the new act, a Central Consumer Protection Authority was being formed. The whole idea was so that formed so and this was formed against the advertisements which gives or conveys a false description or false promises of a product or a service. Okay, under false, again and again I'm saying, representation. Your representations, your warranties are very, very important and crucial. Now, for the purpose of speedy and simple settlement of consumer disputes, and establishment have consumer district agencies, right? So we have spoken about the forum, we have spoken about the commission, the state commission, and the national commission, right? Now, the district commission, under the old regime, it was forum, now it is the commission. Now we need to know who forms part of this commissions. So district commission, who will form according to section 10, is district commission shall consist a person who has been or has who was who is or has been or is or qualified to be a district judge, shall be nominated by the state government and shall be president of the state district commission. Now, he alone will not be. There will be two other persons, persons of eminence in the field of education, trade, commerce, law, etc., and a lady social worker. Now, pecuniary and territorial, as we have already discussed, there are pecuniary and territorial jurisdiction. This has been changed. Now it is no more 50 lakh, but 5 lakh, but is 50 lakh. So the jurisdiction is twofold for district commission. One is pecuniary. Anything within 50 lakh will come before district. Now, if the cause of action has arisen in Pune, you will not come and file in Bombay, right? It will have to go to Pune only. So the territory, the frame has been earmarked. Now, 19 Act continues to have the consumer forums, as I have told you, under the old. The pecuniary jurisdiction, however, has changed as informed. Okay, now each commission has, as I have told, though the act says 1 crore, now it has changed and come down to 50 lakh. Okay, so there has been jurisdictional changes, district, state and national. But please remember, now for district commission, there is a further amendment. For district commission, it is 50 lakh. For the state commission, it is up to 2 crores. And for national, it is exceeding 2 crores. Now, a consumer can approach district, state or national consumer dispute redressal commission for what? For initiating a product liability action against whom? A product manufacturer, seller or service provider. Okay. And please remember, the most important is there should be a harm caused due to the defective product manufactured. And again, this harm could be tangible, intangible. There, it can be filed, the consumer dispute for defect in the services, and it could be for unfair trade practice as well. For violation of your consumer rights, which we have already discussed, for violation of consumers as a class, so there can be a class action as well. So this is where a distinction has been drawn up between the 1986 Act and the 2019 Act. Okay, there was no regulator for advertising, but now there is a CCPA, that is the Central Consumer Protection Authority, under the new Act, which was not in the old Act. The Consumer Court. Now, complaint under the old Act was to be filed in the office located, but now where the opposite party was. But now under the new Act, the the complaint can be filed where the complainant resides or work. I don't have to go where the opposite party or the cause of action has arisen. Let's say I am at Bombay and the office is at Delhi. I don't have to file it in Delhi. I can file it in Bombay itself, because that is my area of residence. Now, product liability. Now, there was no provision of product liability in the old regime, but in the new regime, the consumer can seek compensation for harm caused by a product or service. The jurisdiction has changed. The pecuniary jurisdiction was up to 20 lakh. The act, when it had come new, stated 1 crore for the district commission. But then it was realized that, you know, a lot of burden has come upon the foras, the district commission. So the amounts have been changed again. So district commission is now 50 lakh. State is 50 to 2 crores. And national is above 2 crores. Okay. E-commerce, most important. Under the old regime, e-commerce was not mentioned, because that was never a case in earlier. But now, with the advent of apps, Instagram, social media, etc., e-commerce have been brought into the picture, and whether they are a platform, direct selling, indirect selling, etc., e-commerce have been included. Mediation sales. Now, it was found that, you know, if a mediation is done, conciliation is done, a lot of litigation can be curtailed on the threshold itself. So with a view to give boost to settlements and mediation, cells have been formed under the new Act, which was not under the old provision. Okay, the introduction of Central Consumer Protection Authority has come up as the new regulator, and they regulate and they promote, protect and enforce the rights of consumers through QA, against the misleading advertisements and unfair trade practices as a institute. Okay, now let us look at the establishment of the Central Consumer Protection Authority. Now, this authority has been established by the central government. Okay, now why? What is their job? Their job is to regulate matters related to violation of rights of the consumers. Rights of the consumers, as have been defined under the Act. Rights of the consumers, unfair trade practice and misleading and false advertisements. Now these misleading and false advertisements should be to such an extent which prejudices, which affects the interest of publics and consumer in general and specific. Okay, and in along with, you know, protecting. They're also another most important job is to promote and enforce the rights of consumers as a class. Now, this central authority will consist of chief commissioner and other such members as may be prescribed by the central government. Now, the headquarter of the central authority shall be at National Capital Region of Delhi, okay, and it will have a regional office as will be decided by the central government. Now, what are the powers? Just keeping the authority is not sufficient. They need to be given power. So, what are their powers and work? They protect, promote and enforce the rights of consumers. They prevent unfair trade practices and ensure that no person engages himself into unfair trade practices. They ensure that no misleading or false advertisement is done. If they come into, their suo moto can take cognizance of any false, you know, advertisement. If they come, even if nobody complains and they come into, it comes to their knowledge that there is a false and misleading, you know, advertisement which contravenes the rules and regulations of any act, even the Consumer Act, then they can issue notice to such entities. Their job is to ensure that no person takes part in publication of such false and misleading advertisements. They have to inquire into or, you know, initiate investigation, inquiry of violation of consumer rights. They will refer matters of such investigation to other regulators. So other regulators could be under MRTP Act, that is more Restrictive Trade Practice Act, the it could be under the EGMARC Act, it could be under ISI Act, right? They have the right, they have the power to recall the goods. They have power to issue directions and penalties against misleading advertisements. They can determine what are the penalties. They can go ahead and search and seizure. What is search and seizure? Search is you go, they can go ahead and search any manufacturer or traders or product service providers office, search, and if they are they find that such false materials are available, it could be your advertisement pamphlets, prints, it could be the product itself, they can seize it and take into custody. And they have to create annual reports of all the cases filed, action taken, expenditures, etc. So they have to furnish annual reports. Now, a district commission has to observe the certain process, okay, as has been given. Complaint related to defects, relating to service. There is limitation for filing of complaint. It can't go, you know, for endlessly. They have administrative control. They have to come to a finding of a complaint, and they also have been given power to execute their order. As have been informed that, you know, if they do not have powers to execute, then it's just on paper. So if in execution, the opposite party does not come, then they have the right and authority to issue warrant as well as issue have the properties attached. Now, before the district commission, there is no appeal, but you can file appeal against their orders. Okay, what is the power of district commission? District commission can enforce, summon and enforce attendance. They can give order of discovery or production of documents. They can tell the opposite party that you produce ABCD documents. They can also ask the complainant to produce a particular document which they want. They can take evidence on basis of affidavits. They can also appoint an expert, a third party expert, and investigate about it. They can send a particular product for to a laboratory for inspection and taking their you know, report. They can call for examination of any witnesses. Now, after looking, investigating, if they come to know that, you know, this complaint is not maintainable, they can dismiss it. And in the investigation, now see, please remember, it is not just that, you know, they will allow all complaints. If it is a false and frivolous, they also have the right to impose cost, okay, as example. So this is necessary so that people do not come and file false complaints, right? They can authorize any officer, appoint and authorize any officer to seize the books, papers, documents, etc. And these officers have right to enter and search the premises for seizure. Now, what are the additional powers? The additional powers are is to require any person to produce or allow to be examined books, accounts, documents, commodities, to furnish such information as may be required to investigate the complaint. They can, as discussed, they can authorize anyone to enter, not anyone, a particular officer by order to enter a premise, to inspect, to seize whatever is. And now they can't seize just anything. It is only with respect to the complaint to take seize it. State commissions again have identical powers, but say state commission, when it comes, state commission is at a state level. Now, who forms a part of state commission? A person, again here also there are three members. One, the first chairperson is the judge of retired or a judge of high court, and there are two other members who are not less than 35 years of age, who possess a bachelor's degree and have ability and integrity. They are of a standing. Now, state commission has two jurisdiction, which is, as I said, original, monetary, where it can be, now it is currently 50 lakh and above, up to 2 crores, and appellate, where they, you can, so for example, when you file a complaint with the district forum, district commission, and the district commission rejects, or maybe district commission allows, so the company can go ahead and appeal against the order. And supervisory, so within their state, all the district commissions will come under the supervision. So if you have a complaint regarding a particular district commission, you can write a letter to the state commission. Now, finding of the state commission is identical. They can go ahead and investigate into the goods, whether they are really defective, whether there is, in a sense, any deficiency of service as alleged. The national commission, now national is at the national level. Okay, again, national commission is also identical. The composition is different. The composition is where instead of a judge of high court, in the national commission it is Supreme Court, and instead of two person there are four members who are members of ability, integrity and standing. Now the jurisdiction against is again is three: monetary, which is beyond 2 crores, though the act, the old act said 1 crores, the new act says 10 crores, but the further amendment has come to 2 crores. The appellate jurisdiction, so any, so there is hierarchy. If I have grievance against the order passed by the state commission, I will come to national commission, that is the appellate, and supervisory. So supervision of all the state commission and district commission. Now the procedure of national commission, it's identical. It has all the powers of a civil court. All right. It's whatever procedures have been given and the rules, they have to strictly adhere to those rules. Now, this sitting is in Delhi, and every proceeding of National Commission shall be conducted by the president, who is a retired Supreme Court judge or the senior most member. All right. Now, appeal to Supreme Court. Now, as I have said, from district you go to state, from state you go to national, and from national, if you are affected or aggrieved by the order of the National Commission, you have the appeal to before the Honorable Supreme Court. Okay, so an appeal will lie before the Honorable Supreme Court. Now, there are consumer protection councils. What are these councils and who are these councils? The object is to promote, not just protect, but also to promote the consumers' rights, right? These councils were established at central level and known as central council. The council which is at the state level are known as state council. Now, under the central council, as per the rule, there are 150 members, and they will meet as and when necessary and follow the procedures as has been prescribed. They have to meet every year. All right. Now, what is the objective? The objective is to protect the right. Okay. The right to be protected, the right to be informed, the right to be assured, the right to be heard, seek redressal, and the right to consumer education. The objects are identical as the state council of the central council and state council. Right. Now, district consumer protection council. the state government will also establish a district consumer protection. So at every tier, if you see district, state, national, at every tier you have a commission, you have a council. And who is part of the council at a district? The collector of the district shall be the chairman, and such other number as may be prescribed by the state government. The meetings are the same. There shall be not less than 2 meetings. Minimum 2 meetings are compulsory and as required. It can be minimum, it has to be minimum two, or it can be more than two. The objects are identical to that of the Central Council. Now, let us again now recap as to the several changes made in the erstwhile Act. The 2019 Act has widened the regime of the consumer protection. The old regime was very narrow in the sense it was limited in a particular perspective. There was no product liability, product service, etc. Those definitions were not there. E-commerce, Insta, social media, all these platforms were not there. Influencers were not there. But under the new regime, all these have come. Okay, so because of that, the 19 Act, the new Act has further empowered the consumers by leveraging, strengthening, by giving more responsibilities on not only the main consumers or the manufacturers or seller, but also of the endorsers. So whoever endorses, whether it is a celebrity, an influencer, whoever. But please understand, your neighbor coming and endorsing, your neighbor will not come. It has to be of a mass reach. Okay? So these endorsers are also included. The 19 Act also has tried to touch upon comprehensively under class action, interest of as a class. Earlier, though, by drawing a parallel, it was allowed, but now it has touched upon that concept. And the 19 Act, as compared to the earlier, has tried to ease and fasten the process and increase the pecuniary jurisdiction. Mediation is something which is very important. Like now, in my almost 18 years of practice, I have seen that, if you mediate, if you conciliate, if you try to sit and settle the dispute, the dispute gets settled faster. And when you mediate or conciliate, the load, the burden, even on the judiciary and the quasi-judicially decreases, right? So mediation is something which helps to settle the case faster as compared to litigation. So there has been establishment of a mediation cell on all the tiers, whether it is district, state, or the center. So for district and state commission, the state government has established the mediation cells, and for central government it is the it the for the national commission and the regional benches, it is the central government who has established the mediation cell. Right now, the mediation cell shall consist of person as has been prescribed, and every mediation cell has to maintain a list of empaneled mediators, list of cases handled by the cell, the record of the proceeding, and any other information. It could be how many have been settled, what has been the settlement amount, etc. So this is all about the new regime of the Consumer Protection Act 2019, where we have included who's a consumer, what are the various complaints that can be filed under what grievances, where it has to be filed. We have drawn up a comparison between the 1986 Act and the 2019 Act and the further amendment, and how all these acts, councils, and the steps of the legislation has been entirely to protect the consumers against not only defective trade practices, defective goods, etc., but also against false and misleading advertisements and representations. Thank you very much for your time and patience. See you.